name is Tini Slytherin Manyas. I'm with the Rollins School of Public Health, and I work with researchers, Drs. Ralph DeClemente and Gina Wingood, and we work on HIV and STI risk reduction with girls, and we work out of Metro Atlanta at three area metropolitan STD clinics. So as part of what we do, this is from our Project Horizons that I'll be presenting you. And when we do assessments with our participants at baseline, we ask a lot about sexual, self-reported sexual behaviors. And it's really the cornerstone of how we collect data about their behaviors, one of the foundations of how we get their information. And unfortunately, one of the concerns that we have with self-reported data is that self-report data are prone to biases. You've got recall bias with encoding, distortion, issues of retrieval, and issues of reconstruction. There's also concern with social desirability bias. So over the past few decades, there have definitely been improvements in how we shape and format questions and frame questions around sexual behavior in order to enhance validity of the data that we are collecting. So to counteract these biases, we've definitely used shorter recall periods, implementing windows of 14 days, 1 month, 3 months, so trying to spread them out. And then giving cues, having calendars. Participants have calendars when they take our surveys so that they can write down important events. And then as we're asking them to recall their sexual behavior, they have those dates to help increase the validity of the information that we're getting. We also use an ACASI, which is an audio computer assisted self-interviewing method, where each participant has a laptop, it has headphones, ensuring that her information stays confidential. And that also helps just to combat issues with health literacy because it does read the questions to the participants. In addition to these three, we use biomarkers to validate self-report data, which has been common in other research. Their incident STDs have been used, prostate-specific antigen, and YCPCR. So just to go back through each of these biomarkers, incident STDs have been used to validate if participants have been had sex without a condom or have had unprotected sex. And this is great because it is subjective and it's a quantifiable way to validate information you've been getting. However, the issue with using incident STDs is that you do need to have a high-risk sample with a high STD prevalence, and you need to have a large sample as well as a sample that you're doing extended follow-up on. So other researchers have looked to use the PSA, or a prostate-specific antigen immunoassay. And using this assay is good. It's been validated as a measure of condom failure. However, it can only detect it can only be a valid detector for 24 to 48 hours within the time frame of unprotected sex. So the YCPCR is actually one of the tests that we'll be talking about today, the Y chromosome polymerase chain reaction. We'll just call it the YC from here on out. So just to give you a bit of background on the YC, it's a swab-based assay, so participants self-collect the swab. It's actually more sensitive than the PSA that I just told you about, because it actually detects YC in the vagina up to 2 weeks or 14 days post unprotected coitus, which is a much longer window than the 24 to 48 hours. And it's a non-disease biomarker of unprotected sex, so you don't have the same issues that you had if you're using incident STDs as the sole way to validate self-report behavior. So the purpose of the study that I want to talk to you all about today is we wanted to look at comparing the self-report sexual behavior information that we get from our participants and compare that to the YCPCR as an objective measure of unprotected sex in girls. So our sample included girls who were African-American females ages 15 to 21 who reported sexual activity in the past 60 days. Girls could not be married, nor could they be pregnant or attempting to become pregnant when they entered the program. We screened over 1,500 girls. 874 girls actually met our eligibility criteria, and 82% of those girls participated at baseline. So we had a complete sample of 715 girls in our project. So when girls do come to baseline, our data collection includes the biospecimen. So we do an STD screen. That's routine with our projects. We do chlamydia, gonorrhea, and trich. We also this added the measure of the YC-PCR, which is, again, a self-collected swab. So girls are self-collecting these two biospecimens. And we use the ACASI, and we ask numerous items on the scale. But the items reporting, looking at self-reported condom use, were the two items of, one, how many times did you have vaginal sex in the past 14 days? And how many of those times that you had sex did you use a condom? And I want to point out that the 14-day recall period where the self-reported sexual behavior actually matches the detection window of the YC-PCR. So we're asking you about information and collecting biological information about the same window. So our methods for our data analysis included getting a proportion measure of condom use. So as you saw before, consistent condom use versus inconsistent condom use. So to get that measure, we looked at the number of acts of sex without a condom and divided it by the total number of vaginal sex acts, therefore creating our consistent versus inconsistent condom use measure. So girls that had anything less than 100% condom use were inconsistent users. So with our results, there were 484 girls that reported having sex in the past 14 days, so of those 715, and those 484 had valid YC-PCRs. The mean age of our sample was 17.9. The majority were enrolled in school, with 25% having graduated or already having received a GED. And 89% of girls in our sample had a current boyfriend, and 33% reported a casual sex partner, so those aren't mutually exclusive. So what we found with, of the 484 girls that had that reported sex within the past 14 days, 186 girls reported consistent condom use, so condom use 100% of the time. However, as you'll see in the pie chart, 63 girls, or 34% of girls, had a positive YC-PCR assay, meaning there was presence of YC in the vagina at the time of the test. So what we were concerned about was looking at those discordant results that the girls reported, that 34% of girls. So what we wanted to do is look at factors that could possibly be associated with the discordance between the YC-PCR and the self-reported data. So we looked at age, we looked at prior STD history, frequency of sex in the past 14 days, having sex while the participant was high on drugs or alcohol, or while her partner was high on drugs or alcohol. And we looked at the number of partners that they had within the past 14 days. So we did a Pearson correlation with the first five, and then with abuse history, we did a chi-square analysis to see how, if any of these could have association with the discordant results. And we found that at a 0.05 level, prior STD history, as well as the frequency of sex in the past 14 days, did have a statistically significant association with discordant results. So since these were significant on the bivariate level, we wanted to then look at them on the multivariate level and do a multivariate logistic regression with these results, girls with discordant results. So we looked at a model predicting YC-PCR results and entered prior STD history and frequency of sex into that model since they were significant on the bivariate level. And we found that of the 0.05 level, which is not there, but it was significant at the 0.05 level with prior STD history, meaning that among girls reporting consistent condom use, those with a self-reported prior STD history were 2.4 times more likely to have discordant results. So looking at that discordance between self-report data, sexual behavior information, and then the objective biological marker of sexual behavior, one thing I want to point out is that the YC-PCR has over 92% specificity at predicting the presence of YC when there's been unprotected sex. So some of the issues, some of the concerns that we think may explain why that discordance exists is looking at misreporting or condom use error. So when you're thinking about misreporting, there's issues of poor recall. As we mentioned before, girls may just not be accurately recalling their sexual activity in the past 14 days. And the other issue is social desirability bias. One of the things is girls are recruited from three Metro Atlanta, as I mentioned, STD clinics, and we conduct our assessments and all follow-ups at those same three clinics. So girls who are in the program have also, within the past 3 months, come into those clinics for STD counseling or other STD testing services. So they may be reporting information based on knowing what they think they should say because they've recently been counseled. And so some of that bias may be coming into play. And also one of the other issues that we think is major is looking at condom use error. We unfortunately didn't look at condom use error, which can include breaking, leakage, slipping off, issues of late application or early removal of the condom, or even reuse of a condom, which can all affect the presence of having YC in the vagina, even though you did attempt to use a condom. We do know, though, through previous research, that condom use error in this population can run as high as 36% to 38%. But the good news is we do have it in a new measure that we're doing with a similar population. So one of the limitations is that the YC is valid only within a two-week window, which is, again, larger than the 24 to 48 hours we've had in the past with the PCA, but it is only 2 weeks, and it can only be conducted with females at this time. The third bullet, we previously thought that detectable levels that we get from the YC-PCR could come from other sources. We since found out that you can't actually detect, the YC is only testing sperm. So if there's been any issues of girls participating in oral sex or having digital penetration, that cannot be detected with the YC. So this is purely accurate in detecting unprotected sex. The other concern is it does have limited generalizability because we did do a sample of African American females in a metropolitan area. So in conclusion, one of the things that we'd like to point out is that you do have to, as we all know, take measures to optimize self-report using a CASI, using the timeline follow-back method, by having calendars and giving girls retrieval cues, and also having those shorter recall windows in order to hopefully enhance the validity of your data. And just pointing out, the YC-PCR has been a great way for us to validate self-report data within our population, and it's easy to administer. And I'd like to point out, too, that Jonathan Zittleman, who is a researcher we worked with at Johns Hopkins, he created the YC-PCR test, and we've had a great relationship working with him to implement this test into our projects. And just using the YC-PCR and STDs and self-report as a way to actually triangulate, it's a triangulated approach to really getting a comprehensive picture of STD and HIV risk in females, and it's within the work that we do. And we're currently doing more research with these populations, really looking at how we can make headway in identifying risk and intervening in girls' lives. Thank you.